Well, hey there. This is Debs the Horoscopes Lady, and this is the Sidereal Astrological Perspective on the Debs the Horoscope Show. And what is it? It is March 7th, 2007, and Mercury is still retrograde. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. Three times a year, if you're standing on planet Earth, and if you're looking out to the skies, it appears the planet Mercury is going backwards in the sky. It's an interesting phenomenon. It has to do with our position, because we're not the center of the universe, interestingly enough. The sun is, or the center of our solar system. But what happens here on Earth for 3 weeks, three times a year, while Mercury is retrograde, all kinds of electronic and communication problems go wrong. Now, it's kind of nice. Well, hey there. This is Debs. Debs the Horoscopes Lady. And this is March 7th, 2007, and this is the Sidereal Astrological Perspective. And if I start cracking up any time during this broadcast, it's kind of an inside joke that has to do with Mercury retrograde, but I'll let you all in on it. What is Mercury retrograde? Three times a year, for 3 weeks each time that it happens, if you're standing here on planet Earth and you're looking up in the sky, it appears the planet Mercury, instead of moving forward like everybody else, is moving backwards. What that does on Earth, and this is the one thing, astrological thing that happens, that even people who don't practice astrology, even people who are not even sure astrology has any credence whatsoever, they'll notice it. When Mercury is retrograde, there are all kinds of problems with communications, electronic devices, automobiles, anything that has to do with a computer, anything that has to do with sound or engineering. And that's a nice segue into what I wanted to talk about today, fate and free will. Not fate versus free will, but fate and free will. But I was kind of cracking up a little bit right before you started hearing my voice. Don's having trouble with the mixer. Last week he was having trouble. And I know you lose money and it seems unprofessional and all that. But you know what it's good for? It's so we can stop for a minute and we can kind of laugh at our own mistakes and we can kind of say, you know, this isn't the end of the world. It is a mistake. It is a problem. Got to deal with the problem. But it's not the end of our world. And we can go on through with it. It's important if you have communication problems during Mercury retrograde, and thank goodness it'll be direct in about a day and a half from now, is that you use that time instead of just grumbling under your breath and saying, well, I don't know what she's talking about, or I don't know what he's so upset about, It is important to say, all right, let's sit down and discuss this. What did you really say, and what did you really mean, because this is what I heard. And if you open up a dialogue, you often find that you were not mad about what you thought you were mad about, or they didn't say what you thought they said, and everything, you form a much tighter bond with people. You know, everything smooths out on its own. So these little communication mistakes can be blessings in disguise. It gives people a chance to be human, and that's kind of nice. I will tell you, if you know anyone that was born during a Mercury retrograde, if any of you all have children or grandchildren that were born in the last 2.5 weeks, you are not to panic. When your baby grows up to become, you know, a child or a toddler, they may not communicate as quickly as everyone else, and they may not communicate, well, this is darn sure, they will not communicate the same way everybody else does. They are born thinking out of the box. Makes it a little tougher to be a child sometimes, but as adults, these people they're brilliant. They think differently than the rest of us, and they can solve problems. Sometimes if they can get into a job where solving problems is what they do, they can do it quicker than the rest of us because they know what's already been tried, they know what doesn't work, and they don't get stuck on that. So, again, there's always blessings everywhere. Fate versus free will. Now, at any time, you are welcome to call the call-in number, which my screen doesn't have on it right now. I'm sure it'll come on back. Call in the number and ask me questions. If you have relationship questions, then please have the birth date of the other person available. If it is a career question, then I just need your birth date, time, and place. and we can go from there. Fate and free will. One of the things that got astrology such a bad rap about 2,000 years ago was people were starting to think in a different way. Religious leaders were coming up who gave people options. Before that, you didn't have a whole lot of options. The astrologers that were around, they were essentially government contractors. They worked for the king. And as a king's lot went, that's how everybody else's lot was. What you were born into, that was it. You know, you were born into a farming family, that's what you did. You were born into some sort of merchant family, that's what you did. Not a lot of free will involved. About 2,000 years ago, that changed in both the East and the West. And one of the first things that got attacked was astrology, because it was pretty darn fated up to then. And given the circumstances of most people's lives, it made good sense. And a lot of people, particularly people now in the New Thought community, they do reject astrology because it seems so fated. And, you know, people stand up and say never, you know, and you can do this and you can do anything you want to do. And yes, there is definitely validity in that statement. It does make a lot of sense. But I can tell you right now, I'm never going to be the president of the United States, and most of the people listening to me, they're never going to be the president either. That's not a bad thing. It's just that's not what's in our stars. It's not what's in our future. And quite frankly, we're not interested in doing it. So what is fate versus free will? Because some people are born, it seems to be, they're born for greatness. They're born for stardom. They're born for leadership. Other people are born for a variety of other slots or lots in life. Each one of us, when we were born to the set of parents that we had, were already, and whether we were born male or female, we were already fated to certain types of experience. If you were born to a middle-class family, then you were going to have certain experiences growing up. If you were born into a family that was musical, you were going to have certain experiences growing up. If you were born into a family that was athletic, you were going to have certain types of experiences growing up. All of that helps mold who you are as you do become older. Your free will comes in when you decide what you're going to do with those circumstances, when you decide what you're going to do with those talents. Will you live up to your highest potential? Will you settle for something in the middle? Or will you just not put in a lot of effort at all? That is where the free will comes in. And it comes in every day. Whether, you know, you decide to be upset about something or you decide to say, oh my, well, it's one of those oh my experiences. If you think back over the last 2.5 weeks, what your experiences have been with failed communications, or maybe your car broke down. That's a classic, during Mercury retrograde. People have car problems, or your computer didn't work right. How did you react to that? Because that is the free will. Did you take that as, okay, we just, you know, it's a problem, we got to fix it, got to get moving with it? Or did you let it stop you? Did it? You become angry about it? Did you become so frustrated you could not work on it anymore? That's the free will part. And by using that free will every day, you can take what you were born. I would say you could take the astrology of your birth and get the most out of it. Do the most with it. There is a aspect where when I do charts professionally, I always tell people, expect the unexpected, which sounds almost like a cop-out. It's like, well, how do you do that? You know, how do you expect the unexpected? I'm like, well, I could give you more details on it, but it's just easier to say that. And as your own consciousness dictates, things will happen. The aspect, for those of you who are interested in astrology, it has to do with the hard aspects between transiting Mars and people's own Uranuses, where the Uranus is in their chart. And it can be what's called a conjunction, a square, or an opposition. And things will break. Things will go wrong. Unusual things will happen. And I say, depending on your own consciousness, because this may be an aspect where something physically breaks around you, where you may stub your toe, or where events start to unfold that you are, that you somehow caused and didn't realize you caused, or you're sort of in the center of it, and you know why you're in the center of it, but you didn't expect it to happen just like that. And again, free will. Do you take this stuff personally, or do you just say, okay, I've learned what to do with that. I always have a spare tire. Shouldn't be talking on the phone and trying to hammer up a picture. Oh, maybe my communication skills need to be improved. That's where the free will comes in. And that's why, you know, for people out there that absolutely just, you know, put their nose up in the air about astrology because they say it takes away their free will, you know, I would argue back and argue vehemently that no, it does not take away your free will. It is a framework, and an obvious framework, from which your free will can operate. Some of the more obvious aspects are when people are the ages between 6 and 7, or people are the ages around 12 years old, 18 years old. I mean, these are classic growing stages. There was a book years ago called Passages that took timelines, and those can go back to astrology, where there are certain aspects where you become more responsible, or more responsibility is expected out of you. You know, when you're a little kid and you go into first grade, you have to behave differently. When all of a sudden a piece of you gets excited about what's new and you're growing and everything around you, your consciousness just develops. And this happens at various stages of your life, since first one being around the age of 12. You know, nobody doubts that. Nobody says, oh, well, that doesn't happen, because it's so obvious. Not only does it happen, that it's built into our society, that it happens at certain ages. And that's astrology. And that can be used to get the most out of people, the most out of their lives, so they can enjoy their life and expand it greatly. Now, you may have heard me say at the beginning of the top of the hour there that I am a sidereal astrologer, and that might have gone just past you. I will be repeating this information for those of you who will be listening week after week, what the difference between sidereal and tropical astrology is for a while, so new listeners can understand what in the world is that woman talking about. Like I would tell you today, the sun is actually in 22 degrees of Aquarius, that the eclipse that we just had was in 19 Leo. It was not in Virgo. It was in 19 Leo. The moon right now is a little past that. It's in 5 degrees of Libra. So all you sidereal Libras are having a high cycle. The astrology that I use is the same astrology framework that the Vedics use. It is what astronomers use if you're going to go out and look at planets, because the astrology, the sidereal astrology, is based on the constellations, where the planets are actually positioned against the backdrop of the sky. And you say, gee, isn't that what, you know, the other Western astrology, isn't that what we use? Tropical astrology, which is now what is currently mostly used in the West, is based on the seasons. The first day of spring is the first day of Aries. The first day of summer is the first day of Cancer. The first day of autumn is the first day of Libra. And the first day of winter is the first day of Capricorn. And this is equally divided 30 degrees every single, you know, for each sign. So everybody gets 30 degrees of 12. It is a beautiful, beautiful mathematical construct. It makes a lot of sense to divide the sky up like that mathematically. And 2,000 years ago, the constellations lined up with this type of math. So when the sun was coming across to the northern hemisphere to give spring up there for all the ancient Greeks that were doing this, the constellation Aries was coming up on the horizon just as it became the first day of spring. Made a lot of sense. With the precession of the equinoxes, this has changed a bit in the last 2,000 years. So now, the first day of spring, the sun is about 7 degrees of Pisces. That, if you could see it in the sky, that's where it is. Does this make a difference? I would tell you that it does make a difference. And I'm going to have, matter of fact, starting next week, I will have a longtime sidereal astrologer who's got a television show and had a radio show down in Florida, sunny Florida. His name is Angel. He will be coming on air, and over the next so many weeks and months, I will have other sidereal astrologers. So you can hear their stories and hear why they switched and hear what the value of using this tool. It's a wonderful tool. And I will also have some of the other BBS hosts on air that are taking a sidereal test to see if this makes sense. Allison Bauman from Visible by the Numbers will be on, Barbara Ann Leonard from The Inner Garden, and a couple others that are taking this test that have not gotten back to me yet. And I want you to hear the difference, and I do want you to call in and hear the difference. If you've ever thought, gee, I never really felt like my sun sign, or gee, you know, I spent all that money to get that report done, and some of it was right, and some of it, I don't know, could have been talking about my sister or something, then you are the perfect candidate for someone who would like to learn about sidereal astrology and to see what kind of tool that you can use to just make your life flow easier. It's like having a good weather report, actually, which, well, we sort of got right now. I don't know where the rest of you all are. I'm here in Northern Virginia. We've got snow coming down. And I think the classic joke has always been with local astrologers here, is that if I only had to be as good as the weathermen, you know, I'd be all right. The snow that's just now getting here was supposed to start about midnight last night, so it got here a little bit slower. But that's okay. We'll take it as it comes. But it is a tool, just like a good weather report, just like a good ocean report if you sail, as you know, when something's coming up, so you know the best way to use it. Right now, the planet Mars is in sidereal Capricorn. It's almost to the middle. It's in 13 degrees. So all the sidereal Capricorns, and that may include a lot of you who think that you are sun sign Aquarians, but when you were born, the sun was actually in the constellation Capricorn. All of you have been going through, for the past 3 weeks, this kind of ants in the pan, slightly irritated, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself, but I have some sort of plan in mind. Feelings. Some of you have switched jobs. Some of you are talking about switching jobs. Some of you are taking tests so you can go the next grade level up, get more money in your job. And what you're doing with Mars coming through that constellation, you are starting a new personal cycle for 2.5 years that's focused on where you're going to put your energy. Now, is that fate or is that free will? It's both. It is fated that you do this at this time. It is absolutely fated. And if you are a sidereal Cancer born on the other end of it, and again, a lot of you call yourselves Leos because tropically that's what you are, you're a Leo, but actually when you were born, the sun was in the constellation of Cancer. Now is your time to shine, to show, look, I've been working on this project now for just over a year. I'm ready for my test, or I'm ready to move into the next phase of it. I'm ready to show you what I've done, to prove what I've done is good. I'm ready to head that committee now. What some people will do with this, even though it's the time to do it, what some people will do is to watch it pass by them. They'll say, I feel like doing this. I'm talking about doing this. But then they don't. I find that frustrating as someone who's often hired to give people good timing. And I find that frustrating as someone who believes in human potential, believes that all of us has every single day the ability to make themselves a little bit finer, a little bit greater, a little bit happier, go a little bit farther. There's a couple examples of fate and free will I'd like to mention, and some of them are just so obvious. If you've got a plane ticket and you're taking off, and you're taking off for this fabulous vacation, and you have these expectations, but the plane ticket, let's say it's for 12 noon, and you don't get to the airport till 1:30, you shouldn't be surprised if the plane's already left. You shouldn't be surprised if you can't get on another plane right away. And what you should not do is complain about it, which if you're the type of person to do that, you will. But you shouldn't complain about it because you set yourself up for failure. The time to leave was at noon. You had to get there before noon to get checked in. So often people will go to an astrologer or even a psychic or tarot reader, and they'll say, okay, I want to sell my house. I just had this happen with he's a wonderful friend of mine, and I know he's not listening to this, so I can say this, so he won't recognize it. He and his girlfriend wanted to sell their house. We've talked about it all last year, and I said, okay, I will give you times to do that. Best time to put it on the market. So I gave him, list of times, put it on the market. They didn't put it on the market then. They didn't put it on the market until 8 months later. Now, I didn't realize this, but they're building another house somewhere else, and I'm hearing about, well, we got to pay the contractor, we got to do this. And I said, what, your house hasn't sold yet? No, it hadn't sold yet. They hadn't put it on the market. No way was it going to sell. So finally, it got put on the market. Got put on the market months after the prime date. Now, you don't have to be an astrologer to know spring is generally the best time of the year to put your house on the market. November is not, okay? But they put it on the market in November. I gave them some good dates for that. Put it on the market in November. They're supposed to be signing papers astrologically, in December. They were. Had nothing to do with selling the house. Had more to do with the house that they were supposed to be buying, okay? This story gets sillier. I'll just warn you that. So they're calling me, I don't know why the house isn't selling. And I don't want to be ugly and say, well, gee, you didn't put it on in time. You had missed the plane, essentially. But the house will sell. I'm looking at the charts. The house will sell. You're not going to be stuck paying two mortgages indefinitely. Got a phone call the other day. The house finally sold. They're going to settlement this month. But the guy wants to move in right away. I said, well, that shouldn't be a problem. Oh, we're not packed up yet. Now, friends, let me ask you something. And you don't have to be an astrologer. You don't have to be particularly psychic. You don't even have to know a lot about the housing market. But if you say you want to sell your house, then doesn't it make sense to pack it up, get ready to go, put the house on the market, be ready to move out when the house sells? And I know this gentleman's girlfriend's going to come back and say, see, astrology doesn't work. Because she exercised her free will in a way so it wouldn't. If you want to be whatever it is you want to be, if you want to be a basketball player, then you've got to go out and at least play basketball. If you want to be an architect, then you're going to have to draw a straight line. You're going to have to learn about architecture. If you say you want to do something and exercise your free will to do it, then you got to put some action in it. Because all the potential in the world, all the fated opportunities in the world, won't mean a daggone thing unless you get up and do something about it and exercise your free will to do it. There's an aspect that it's a longer-term aspect that has to do with Saturn. You'll hear me talk about Mars and Saturn a lot. They're considered the Malefics? Here's my Southern Maryland accent coming out. They're the bad guys in the chart. But I like them because they define boundaries. They kick you in the butt and get you moving, and they define boundaries. So you can learn a lot by that. Anyway, Saturn is rising in your chart. Transiting. This is not how you were born. And this is a 28-year cycle. No matter where you were born, you got this 28-year cycle with Saturn coming around. And you'll recognize that age. At 28, people either become a lot more responsible or they don't make it. That's just one of those things. But Saturn is moving up in your chart. And when I say up, I mean from the seventh house up, if you know anything about houses in astrology. But it's coming up over the horizon. you'll generally, what'll happen is people will change the society that they're in. So they'll get a new job. They'll graduate from college. They'll move into a new neighborhood where their peers are different. And they work and work and work and work and work. Another couple of years, they're working out the nuts and bolts of things. They're learning trust issues. They're figuring stuff out. And they're either going to commit themselves to what they're doing, or they're going to drop away. The following 2.5 years, what they'll do is they'll either get more education for whatever their career is, or they'll travel more. They'll widen their sphere of influence and who's influencing them. And then the following 2.5 years, and this is kind of happens over 7 years, and then the 2.5 years after that, they will either get a promotion, or if they've spent all that time in college and graduate school, they'll go out and become doctors or whatever it is, or they'll get their first real gig doing that. They'll get some status, and everyone will watch them for 2.5 years. And the 2.5 years after that, they'll get more money and rewards and be accepted in the community. What I will see occasionally happen, and I find so incredibly frustrating, again, because I believe so much in human potential, is people will get up to that point where all eyes are on them, something is expected from them, and they'll drop out. They'll say, didn't really expect all this pressure. Didn't really expect all this responsibility. I'm not going to do this. I've had clients over the years to say who are looking for a new job, and they've worked themselves all the way up to where Saturn's at the top of their chart. They've spent the last 7 years in the field, going in every day, doing what was expected of them, taking whatever classes it was, so they went up grade levels. I'm thinking of several government workers I know. Get all the way up there and start getting offered job opportunities that they'll have to move for, or they'll have to be in charge of a large number of people. They're moving up into management. And they look at it and they say, didn't know it meant all that work. Didn't know it meant I had to be uncomfortable for a while. Didn't know it meant I had to move. And they'll stop what they're doing. Now, people will still have their eyes on them for the next 2.5 years. And they'll say, okay, can't use this person here. This person won't go there. And they'll turn around and say, astrology must not work. Astrology worked just fine. Fate worked just fine. But your free will was not to take this position. And you have the right to do that. You have the right not to take your turn in the limelight. You have the right to say, I've gone far enough. I don't want to get any farther. You've got that right. But you have to take full responsibility for that and say, all right, you know what? I push past my comfort level. I don't want to go any farther. And say that. Don't turn around and say, gee, this stuff doesn't work. Or, gee, there must be something wrong with your system, anybody's system, because I didn't change jobs, or I didn't get more money, or I didn't get, you know, the lover that I wanted, or whatever that is. This is where your free will comes in. Every single day it comes in. You can get up no matter what is going on, and no matter what the opportunities right in front of you that day are, and you can decide to make the most out of it or the least out of it. If you make the most out of it, if that's what you choose to do, then those opportunities will open up. And the next time you have the same aspect that might have been going on 2 years ago or 14 years ago or 28 years ago, when it comes around the next time, it's easier. It's more fun. It's more enjoyable. That's what you get with life in general, but with astrology, that is certainly what you get. It's a wonderful tool. And like I said, you don't have to be, it's nice now with everything that's available on the internet and through other sources. You don't have to learn all the math yourself. You don't have to be an astrologer yourself to have this tool available to you. I have, I'm going to do a little plug for my book right now. I've written a book called Gift Giving by the Stars. And it is essentially about the art and practice of giving gifts, which is kind of a universal and practical tool, or it's for that purpose. So people who have trouble giving to one person, you know, that one person you can never please, or have trouble giving to, you know, you think every year, gee, when am I going to get all these people? You can use this wonderful tool, and yes, I'd love to have you buy the book. I personally think it's a funny and charming book, but you don't have to do that to use the tool. You can go to Search by the Stars. That's searchbythestars.com. Put in anybody's birth date up on that front page there, and you will get a gift suggestion using the sidereal sun and the sidereal Venus that will give you a practical suggestion. That I guarantee, as I say in the book, I swear on a stack of return receipts, that gift giving can be fun, and that people will actually enjoy this. And that's a nice feeling, you know, when you give somebody something that, you know, their eyes light up. Because you can't pretend. You can say thank you and you can smile, but you can't pretend that light. And like I say, I guarantee on a stack of return receipts, you can see that light in people's eyes. If you go to mybirthchart.com, that's mybirthchart.com, every week you can get a sidereal weekly horoscope that's uploaded every Friday, and look under your sidereal sign and see what's happening for the week, essentially. And again, you use your free will. If you see something that says, oh, not the best time to have meetings before Wednesday, well, you can have those meetings if you have to. But gee, if I know it's going to rain in the morning and be nice in the afternoon, maybe I'll wait and do my errand running in the afternoon. In the same way, you can do your meetings whenever you want to do them. But use sidereal astrology. Give it a chance to see if it works. If it doesn't work, call me and say, Debs, it ain't working. And I'd rather have that type of honesty than have someone not even give it a try. You know, it's like, eat your spinach. You know, it tastes a lot better when it's done right. And I'd like to think the way that I do astrology is essentially done right. So you have that there. There is a lovely grand trine going on in the sky right now. And that would be from anybody's astrology, except sidereal astrology, astrologers would put it in water. It has to do with Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn. And it is a terrific time, even with Mercury retrograde, it is a terrific time over the next few days to have meetings or work parties, mixing business with pleasure. And I do this, let me count out, 1, 2, 3. I would do this through Saturday. Sunday's a stretch, but you can do it through Saturday. And just kind of make a mental note to yourself. How did those meetings go? Were they more fun than usual? Were they more productive than usual? Were they more pleasant than usual? Or did they feel the same to you? But if you start, if you've got stuff already planned, and many of you will, because people will resonate to what's going on in the sky without even, they don't have to look at the chart. They just resonate. It's like, okay, it's just time to do this. But if you have any meetings coming up between now and Saturday where you can mix business and pleasure, or just it's a definite business meeting and it's got to get done, it's a planning meeting for whatever you've got coming up in the spring or coming up at work, notice, was it more fun than usual? Was it more productive than usual? Did people leave feeling, oh, wow, I got something out of that? You know, maybe I met a friend or talked to somebody that I hadn't talked to in a long time. I didn't know we had so much in common. You know, it's kind of a nice feel-good kind of situation. If you have someone difficult to talk to and you can plan a little meeting, of course, I don't know what's going on in your personal chart, but still, if you can plan a little meeting, particularly a group meeting, maybe you've got, you know, some committees in your neighborhood where they're not getting along, or you've got things to iron out, now is the time. If you can, call a little meeting, call a little, you know, get together for coffee, and say, all right, let's discuss this. You know, what are we doing over this sign issue, this playground issue, this dance coming up, this arts council, whatever you got going on, and use this time productively. That's what astrology is for. That is absolutely what it is for and what it should be for. It is not to dictate what goes on in your life. It is to provide a tool to make your life easier, flow more smoothly. And that's the free will in it all. You can have the best set of tools in the world, but if you don't practice with them, if you don't figure out how to use them and then use them on a regular basis, those tools don't do you any good. They're just dust collectors. That's what astrology should be. It should be a tool that is used to make your life better, to make it easier, to make it flow. And if you don't know how to use the tools yourself, at least know which tools. It's like if I was going to buy something, or you know, I would want to buy something that had better ingredients that, or mechanics made out of a metal or made out of a material that is going to serve me best. Clothing comes to mind. You know, I'd buy something practical. I don't want to buy something that's going to fall apart after three washings. So if you don't do astrology yourself, I would ask you to at least try sidereal astrology and see what works best. I guarantee you it will not fall apart after three washings. Pardon me for a minute. I'm looking here. Mercury is still retrograde for the next couple of days or the next day or so. So during that time period, if your car breaks down, for heaven's sakes, go get it fixed. But I would not suggest buying a new car until, next week or so. If you have to sign papers today, as always during Mercury retrograde, people's lives do not stop. If you have to sign papers, then go ahead and sign the papers. If you can wait a couple days, I'd suggest you do that. Your life should not stop because of inconvenient aspects. I frequently have people ask me, how often do I look at my chart? And I look at it often enough so that I can get my weather forecast, essentially, so I can get the forecast of what is going on, how things are going on, how they're going to work out. If I am going to do something big, I certainly look at it for that time. But it doesn't, you know, it cannot stop people. I will not sit in my house, you know, for the full 2 weeks before an aspect that may be a dangerous driving aspect. What I do is I leave 5 minutes sooner, I'm more careful, I'm more alert. And that's the way, you know, people should be in general. Anyway, but if you know something's a little bit riskier, you pay a little bit more attention. If your senses are off, if you're feeling more sensitive about things, particularly we just had an eclipse. You may have seen more in the newspaper than you normally do because it was a total lunar eclipse, which is not as frequent as partial lunar eclipses. Matter of fact, the last total lunar eclipse, I believe that's when the Boston Red Sox won back in 2004. So anything can happen during an eclipse. If you're not a baseball fan, you have no idea what a big deal that was when the Red Sox won. But during an eclipse, what will happen is people's circadian rhythms, the electric part of our bodies, they get thrown off. So if you're going in to have your heart checked or getting a physical checkup, I don't recommend you do it on an eclipse just because you may get wrong readings. There are always losses during eclipse. Solar eclipse is more so than lunar. So you'll see in the newspapers where a lot of famous people, they pass away during this time period, simply because we report on famous people. Things will break and disappear or go away and disappear during eclipses. However, that always allows for new things to come in. Do you stop your life on an eclipse? No. I imagine thousands of years ago, if the sun got blocked out, people did kind of, you know, run inside and hide or stop and stare until they had experienced it enough to say, okay, that's what's happening. We always imagine primitive people not having a good grasp of the situation. I always imagine primitive people much like us but not wearing suits and coats and ties. They're just people. And so they would react very much the same way we do to a lot of circumstances. Particularly as you experience them more and more and more and get to know what they are. So we had the eclipse last Saturday night during the full moon. The next eclipse we're going to be having is March 18th, 2007, of course. It's March 18th over here on the East Coast. It'll be March 19th on the West Coast. It'll be happening about 10:30 at night over here on the East Coast, about 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning over on the West Coast. We'll be sleeping. We won't see it over here on this side of the Earth, but we will certainly feel it that day. Again, like I said, you'll notice in the newspaper a lot of famous people will be passing away during this time. Elderly, you know, it's not, they'll have had good long lives, and that's good. What people should be aware of during that time period is that they are not as grounded. Something doesn't feel quite right. Now, the next eclipse that happens will be in water. It'll be in 4 degrees Pisces. So people that are sidereal Pisceans will be feeling it more strongly, particularly if you're born in the first couple days of Pisces, and that would start about March 14th of any year. What I always recommend is you eat grounding foods. You eat peanuts, potatoes. It's interesting, McDonald's always has a surge in French fry sales right before an eclipse. They just had a surge this past week. And then it'll keep on. People will be eating lots more French fries in the next couple of weeks because people want those grounding foods. I'd stay away from too much sugar, certainly stay away from alcohol on that day, anything that's going to lift your feet up off the ground kind of thing. You want to stay grounded. You want to keep yourself on an even keel. You don't want to be spiked out up and down carbohydrate or sugar rushes. It just doesn't serve you well. If you do that, will you live? Absolutely. You know, you get up and you'll go, you might end up with a sugar headache or a caffeine headache. You'll live, but, you know, make your life easy. Make it smoother. But I would like everybody to notice in the next couple of weeks, not only in themselves, but everybody around them, if they're having these experiences where they're acting just a little quirky, where maybe they're a little bit more irritable, maybe they're a little bit more jumpy, they're not sleeping quite as well, which is also free will because you can feel that way and still decide not to act on it. But I would like everyone who's listening to notice that. And, you know, if you don't notice it, please email me and say, I have no idea what you're talking about. If you do notice it, then you can also email me, and that's at Debs. searchbythestars.com. I think that's what we're using here. Debs, D-E-B-S, at searchbythestars.com. Put BBS Radio in the tagline so we'll know which radio show this came from, and we will get back to you or read your email over the air if you give us permission to do that with your birth information. We'll certainly do that for you. And notice there, you know, if anybody's up, anyone's down, and that this is more an emotional type of eclipse, the one that's coming up, as far as people's feelings will get hurt. They'll feel it more deeply on, wow, that kind of hurt my heart, as opposed to the last eclipse where it was people's pride. It was happening at 19 Leo, and people's pride were offended. If you had problems with anybody this past week, particularly communication problems, I guarantee, you know, like donuts to dollars, that it was a pride issue. Somebody felt that they were insulted, or somebody felt that they weren't given due respect. Somebody felt they didn't get a chance to express themselves, and daggone it, they're worth expressing. You know, whatever it was a pride issue. What's going to be coming up in the next 2 weeks, particularly as we get closer and closer to March 18th, it's emotions. It is just emotions. My feelings were hurt. Not that I was angry about it, but daggone, my feelings are hurt, and I want to retreat. I want to just forget about it. I don't want to talk about it. Very different from this past week where people are like, oh, yeah, I want to talk about it. Oh, yeah. That's what astrology can be used for. You can see what is affecting people, how it's affecting people, and you can use that as a tool to communicate with them. You can use your free will every day to notice that you are being affected by things, but transcend that and always choose the high road. You can always choose to make the best out of every single situation, no matter how ridiculous it looks. I'm starting to laugh again, thinking of some of the Mercury retrograde things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. And I will be so glad to say goodbye to that. We had a printer here in the office, and I throw this out because I know other people have had this experience. We had a printer here in this office that would not print anything except in blue. We changed cartridges. I went in and did stuff with the computer, tried to reset the controls. I did everything except throw the printer away and put on a new one. I'm waiting to see. It looks like it's changing back slowly. I'm waiting to see if it gets better by Friday. And this is the kind of experience where I could have gotten angry about it. I could have gotten frustrated about it. What it did was make me chuckle quite a bit. I thought, oh, well, that kind of looks nice in blue. And we continued to send out orders that we got in from mybirthchart.com and searchbythestars.com. We got orders. I said, well, I can't not send out the orders. I certainly don't want to go out and buy a printer during Mercury retrograde, particularly when this printer's printing. It's just printing in blue, essentially. Everything was supposed to be black, was printing in blue, and all the other colors were printing just fine. So we sent out a letter with every single order, and we said for some of these things, we do what's called a Zodiac Challenge, where that costs $7.50. It's a Zodiac Challenge where you send in, this is under mybirthchart.com, you send in your birth information, give us your birth information, and we send you two sheets of paper. One has your personality in tropical, the other has your personality in sidereal, and a few other things that it has in there explaining how to read a birth chart and whatnot. And all that was in blue. And I said, well, we can't hold up these orders. I don't know when this is going to get right. And it doesn't look too bad. But every single order that went out with a letter explaining this and explaining, no, we don't want to hold up your orders. If you would like it in its regular colors, as soon as this printer starts working, and if it doesn't, I'll go ahead and get a new one after Mercury goes direct. I'll be happy to send you a new one at our cost. That's not a problem. But what it made me do was, I said, you know what we're doing, and we hadn't been doing that. Every single order that comes in now, even though it's only for $7.50, we've got a letter going out to these people. It's a personal, you know, with dear Sharon, dear Susan, dear Pat, dear Michael, you know, whoever the front name is. We've got a letter going out to them. I said, you know, that feels kind of good. It's a nice, you know, as opposed to just processing these little orders, which don't get the same type of attention if somebody buys a full consultation. I said, you know, it felt kind of good to give people that kind of attention, even for the little orders. So, once again, Mercury retrograde, it looked like it was going to be, you know, a problem or a frustration point. But instead, it turned out to be something that I felt like I was missing contact with my customers, my customers as opposed to my astrological clients, which spend a great deal more money. So that was kind of nice. I'm sorry here, kind of dead air space. I was looking at the time. Let me see here. For the next 5 minutes we have left, we have no callers today. I said in the next couple of weeks, I know that's going to change, particularly with the guests that I have coming up. So I'm going back to today to see if I can give any suggestions, transits for today. If you were born anywhere around March 7th of any year, your sun is in 22 degrees or 21 degrees or even 23 degrees of Aquarius. You are still an Aquarian, not a Pisces. You might have your Venus in Pisces. You might have your Mercury in Pisces. You might have other things in Pisces. But your sun, what you want out of life, is in Aquarius. With the eclipse that happened this past week, you may have experienced some kind of a more personal loss. Your dog passed away or something, or an old friend moved out of the neighborhood or something where you felt it more strongly than a lot of other things. And that's kind of tough on you all because you don't usually get to express your feelings the same way a lot of the other signs do. There's almost a reservedness there. It's like you want to process through the intellect. Fun thinkers, but it's harder sometimes when you lose things. You can talk it out, but it's tougher to feel it out. And what I would say to anyone born during this time period where you are a sidereal Aquarius, and tropical astrologers have been telling you since, you know, you were a little baby, that you were actually a Pisces, that you kind of stop and say to yourself, you know what, I've never really felt like that. I don't process everything through my emotions first. I process it intellectually. Yes, I am creative, but not in the same way. I am creative intellectually. It's far more mathematic mind. It is a far more precise type of mind, where the art that an Aquarian will do, it's more like jazz. There's a controlled element to it, as opposed to the flowing lines of the Piscean. Different types of music too. So, anyone born during those time periods where you would be a sidereal Aquarius, you only got one more week left here with the Sun in Aquarius. Notice that, you know, and say that, and say, I don't know. I like that Pisces moniker because that's what I've always been called, but am I really like that? I'm not really sure if I am, kind of thing. I would like to say, it's almost the end of my time here. Once again, next week we will have a guest, Angel. Angel is a sidereal astrologer. He is born, way back when. I always like to say Angel is a nice Jewish boy that whose mama sent him to a Catholic school. And he has a very broad perspective on not only religions, but on all people are the same at heart, which is nice. Angel is one of the sweetest men I've ever met. He has done radio down in Tampa, Florida. He now has a television show down in Tampa, Florida. And he will be on air with us next week for about 20 minutes to talk about sidereal astrology and the work that he does. I do know that he has got a sidereal calendar and a book that he has put out, which we will certainly give you the information on and make that available. I would invite anyone to go, once again, to mybirthchart.com for your free weekly horoscope, which is updated every Friday. That's mybirthchart.com, and you can go to the weekly horoscopes page. You can also get a free sidereal chart sent to you. You can look at my other services for astrological consulting. I warn you, I am not for everyone. I am predictive in nature, and that is my forte. That's what I enjoy doing. So if you are in the entertainment field, or if you've got a business, or you have decisions to make, that's the kind of chart that I excel at. If you go to searchbythestars.com, that's searchbythestars.com, you can get a free gift profile for anybody in your family by just putting in the birth information there. You can get a free, longer version of gift profile emailed back to you that has more than the Sun and Venus. It'll have the Sun, the Venus, Ascendant, and the Moon if you put in the entire birth information. And you can buy my book on either site, and that's Gift Giving by the Stars. And you can also get that at Amazon.com or ask your local bookstore to order it for you. Well, I think that's all we've got time for right now. Thanks so much. This is Deb's the Horoscopes Lady, and saying keep an eye on those planets, and oh my goodness, I hope it's not snowing like it is where you are, where it is here right now. Bye now.